This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
This week, even all over the world, celebrate Lag BaOmer. Of course, Lag BaOmer is the celebration of the life of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. His, holiness, his achievements, the fact that he gave us the Zohar. And of course, there's a lot to discuss on this point of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's life and the impact that he had on Yiddishkeit. But there's one angle that I'd like to, put emphasis on that maybe is a little less known. I found in the Sefer Bein Pesach L'Shavuos by Rav Kohen, Rav Tzvi Kohen from Eretz Yisrael, who was Malakit, a beautiful Malar Mar Mekoimus. He brings Mekoiris that bring down that on Lag BaOmer it's a time for Mechilas Avoinus. That a person is forgiven on his sins by Lag BaOmer. And he brings the reason for it is because there was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had, so to speak, a change of heart in his life. Originally, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was in the cave. And when he left the cave, whoever he saw was working, wasn't sitting in the Beis Medrash learning. Fire came out of his eyes and burnt the person up. Eish HaTorah, the fire of Torah, the fire of Zohar. The Rabbeinu Shleilam said, please go back to the cave. That's not what I had in mind. Yet we find when he left the cave the second time, and he brought us the Zohar and everything, he brought down in the Gemara Sukkah that Rav Shimon said a quote. Rav Shimon said about himself, "After Ani is kala olam kulei min hadin, I will forgive the whole world. I will forego the whole world from judgment." The Mefarshim explained that to mean that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was saying that he will protect Klal Yisrael from Kitruk. Malachim, Amrikatrik, and Klal Yisrael that they do Averis. After his Kalailam and Adin, I will protect them. You have this, you read this in the Chak Yaakov, you read this no. Mimer? It's a Gemara. The Gemara says, after his Kalailam and Adin, that I, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, will stand and protect. I will be a guardian that Jews should not have did. They shouldn't be judged. They shouldn't be punished. Pshat. Originally, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai came out and judged everyone very strictly. Those that were working, you're supposed to work. Many people should be working. Yet Rav Shimon Bar Yochai judged them. Do you really need to work? You really should be in the Beis Medrash. Chomer. He judged them very strictly.
First time.
Then afterwards, he was taught in the Ma'ara, Rabbi Shalom, to go back, and he comes out and he's taught, no, after his Kol Olam did that, actually, what is the Eibishter looking for? That tzaddikim should be melamed tzchus. That tzaddikim should protect not only the innocent, but even the sinners. And so, he brings Mekoiris of great people that said that Lag BaOmer is a time of Mechilas Avoinis because Rav Shimon Bar Yochai stands above and he protects. Stands above as Melamed Tzchus for Klal Yisrael. It's interesting that it's the one place that all types of Yidden come together. An interesting observation. I once thought about it. We have the Kaisel. The Kaisel is something that unites all of Klal Yisrael and different factions, right? That's because Ki Beisi Beis Tefila Yikari L'Chol. It's for everything, even for the Goyim. So Kalsh came for the Yidden. But why by the cave of Shimon Bar Yochai do you find such a unification of so many different big people, of different types of sects of Klal Yisrael? And I think it has to do with Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's lesson of Efter's Kol Olam and Adin, Klal Yisrael, to unite and to protect and to be Melamed Zchus. This was the lesson of the Zohar. In previous years, we've spoken, because what is Zohar? Zohar is actually to see the Pnimius. The idea of the Zohar is to see, not from the outside, but to look deep into the reality. And that becomes reality. A Jew, maybe on the outside, might sin. But if you look at the Pnimius, if you look deeper, you see that it's not coming from a makar of sin, but rather it comes from mistake, tinik shenishba, different reasons why people sin. But in the inner core of the Jew is pure and good. So the Zohar that the Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was taught and then gave over later after he left the Ma'ara was this Yisoy, the Pnimius, to the point that even in the Jew, the Pnimius shines forth, and therefore after his Kol Olam and Adin, and therefore that brings about a tremendous Achdus in Klal Yisrael. I'd like to discuss this point of being Dan Lekafsos. As I've spoken to you just now, that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's tafkid, so to speak, when he left the Ma'ara, was Limud Zchus, to find Saniguria, to find tafkid, his goal, purpose. His purpose, is to find Saniguria, to find a defense for Klal Yisrael. You know, Aaron HaKohen comes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? This is what we learned over here. Aaron HaKohen comes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And Chazal tell us that he was not supposed to wear the golden, but rather the white garments. Why? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us, Ein Kateger Nals Sinegel. Because the eagle, it represents the eagle, the gold. So you don't want the Kateger in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because it's Nasa Sanegar. You need to look for defense and not prosecution. My great uncle, Reb Zalman Sirotzkin, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, asked a nice question. I don't know if it's in the Sefer, but I heard it from my Zaydi Zatzal, that heard it from Reb Zalman. A nice question. If there's a problem of Ein Kateger Nasa Sanegar, so he should never wear the gold. Why is it only when he comes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur does he not wear the gold? In general, just keep it away from the whole Beis HaMikdash. Since the Beis HaMikdash is for Kapara, and the gold reminds us of Egel, never have gold in the Beis, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Reb Zalman Sirotzkin answered, my great uncle answered a very nice pshat. One is not supposed to overlook the sin, and there's a time and a place where one is supposed to focus on the Aveira that was done. You can't excuse away completely an Aveira. The person who did the Aveira must deal with it. It's only when he talks to the Eibishter, the Tzaddik, the Gadol, who talks to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he discusses the Klal Yisrael and its sin, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he has to be Melamed Saniguria. He has to come and speak about defense. So, Klapi Chutz, when he did the Avoida, what the people saw, they needed to be reminded of the Egel. You can't excuse away Egel and tell people, you did the Egel, don't think about it. Of course you should think about it. But when he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where he spoke to the Eibishter, where he was in contact with the Ribbono Shel Olam, over there, he doesn't bring up the eagle. He speaks about love on white, pure. The Saneger, the defense, is to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he says that people misunderstand the Barditchevism Yisoid, the Barditchevism Echad Tzadik V'Kadosh L'Vracha, that he always was Melamed Zchus. It doesn't mean that he never told a person Musar. It doesn't mean that he never told a person that you did something wrong. You're supposed to tell somebody he did something wrong. But what, you're supposed to tell everything is fine, you did good, so then there's no Musar. There's no Echer Techiras Amisecha. What's the pshat? When you talk about the person and the Avera to the Rabbeinu Shloimeh, who's the father, that you don't speak ill, that you try to find a limud zchus. And I always give this as a mashal. You know, understand the Rabbeinu Shloimeh being the father. So sometimes you have to come down strong on the child. When you come and take it over to the father, you find a way how to buffer it, that it shouldn't be so painful to hear. So the says the Reb Zalman, people don't understand. They think that the Barditchev is Yisoyed of Avos Yisrael, and is Yisoyed of being down the Kavshus is a blank check to do others. Do what you want. Yeah, it's fine. You did it. And a lot of the jokes, so to speak, that they say about Reb Levi Yitzchok Barditchev is great cheetah, is along these lines. Yeah, he did Averis, he did these Averis, those Averis. Blah, blah, blah. The person has to know you did wrong. And that's why in outside of the Kar Chekadah Hashem, when Klal Yisrael sees the Kohen do the Avoida, that's the big dezah. It's to remind them that they did something wrong. But when they talk Klapi Pnim to the Eibishter and the Kar Chekadah Hashem, that's where you do not bring up the Avera. That's where you speak Saniguri on Yisrael and you wear the white.
Saniguri
is defense. Defense, you only bring up the white.
Saniguri.
And the truth is, one of the classic stories of the Reb Levi Yitzchok Barditchev really goes to this Yisoyed. It speaks of this Yisoyed. They say over, Reb Shalom Shvadron used to say it all the time, this story about Reb Levi Yitzchok. That in Barditchev, someone once walked into the Beis Medrash and he put on his tefillin very fast. Reb Shalom used to say it over, almost to the point where the person wasn't sure if he was taking it on, putting it on or taking it off. He was completely... the whole thing was so quick that he didn't know if he was starting to daven or finishing davening. Then when he davened and was finished.
Mathemin.
Was... unbelievable, quick. The speed with... So Reb Levi Yitzchok Barditchev was bothered by this. How does a person daven like that? That's how you daven today, Mishnah? So he went over to the person and he tells the person, I'm in the other room. Person goes, what? So he goes, Rebbe, what are you saying? What are you talking about? So he turns to the guy next to him. He says, is he okay? Is the Rebbe right? So then Rebbe Levi says, of course I'm right. What's the problem? He says, Rebbe, how do you expect me to understand one thing you said? I mean, so Rebbe Levi says, and tell me, how do you expect the Eibish to understand what you said? You dab in the same way. It's exactly how you dab. How do you want the Eibish to understand? Reb Shalom Shadran used to say over that people say over this story, but there's really more to the story. And that is that there was an older Yid sitting at the table that saw this back and forth between Reb Levi Yitzchok and this, so to speak, new quick mispalel. And he says, Rebbe, I don't agree with your mashal, with your parable. Why? You're right. When a person talks to another person and he would speak like this, nobody here, there's no way for him to understand. But take a child in the crib. Take a child in a carriage. Also, but the mother and the father
understand
what he wants. The Rabbeinu Shleilam is a father. And if he's a father, he understands, even if he understands what the person wants. Levi Yitzchok Barditchev was so moved by this person's Avas Yisrael and his limud zchus. He asked him, how old are you? He He said, I'm 90-something years old. Says Reb Levi Yitzchak, you should know that you live 90-something, these 90 years, for this moment. You merited the schus, the beloved schus of life. You hear? Says Reb Shalom, but that's not the end of the story. There's still more to the story. Yitzhak Baditshva turned around and said, your mashal of the child understood. Shh. Your mashal of the child.
Shh. Yes.
Understood. But isn't it a bizayin when a 40, 50-year-old man acts like a baby? What's your limud schus? That he's like a baby in a carriage? Shameful that a 50-year-old man should be a baby in a carriage. A baby in a carriage, he can't do better. That's the best he can do. He says, imagine a 50-year-old man sitting in a crib. What do you see from over this story? I learned from this story that Reb Levi Yitzchak felt that the person needed to be told that he's wrong. And strongly. He is supposed to tell. Yet he blessed the older person that he had a schus to be melamed schus on Klal Yisrael. Because one has nothing to do with the other. To the b'choita, you got to come down and say, listen, it's wrong. You got to own up and live up to teshuva. You got to do it. Klapi the Eibishter. Ah, that's a tremendous thing to be Melamed Schus. But the truth is, I learned another part of a lesson from this story. How did Reb Levi Yitzchak Baditshva give the Musar? That isn't it a bizayin that a 50-year-old man should act like a child? You know what he was telling him, I believe? You're not a child. You're a 50-year-old man. You have tremendous capabilities. He was uplifting the person. So even when he gave the Musar, what was he telling him? You're a baby? No. He was telling him, you're not a baby. He was telling him, you're a chashuv gavra rabba. You're 50. See, you're capable of much more than a baby. Why do you minimize yourself? Don't minimize yourself to the abilities of a child. I would like to translate a pasuk for you, rabbis, according to this pshat that I just explained to you in the story.
How many times?
Twice, it says. And it says even many times. It says, till he listens. Now, I don't want to go into the halachas of Techach. It's long. There's a lot of halachas. You can ask me many questions now. But I want to translate the pasuk and say an interesting pshat. You shouldn't put on him a chait. What is the chait the pasuk's referring to? So either by not stopping him from doing the aveira, you make him have a chait. Or, Chazal learned from here that the way you give Musar, you shouldn't make it, that he should not want to do the mitzvah. You can't do it in a way that he'll turn around and curse you. Musar has to be given in a way, don't make him be a bigger sinner. I would like to translate the pasuk the following, Rabbi Yisai. V'lay sisa, don't uplift the chet on him. Don't make the chet bigger than the person. Make the person bigger than the chet. V'lo sisa olav, don't hold on him all the time. He's this. Yeah. Which means you're holding on him, on his, he's a chayt, he's a this, he's a that. No. V'lay sisa. Don't make the chet sisa over the person. Lift the person up away from the chet. Elevate him. I remember my bubbies, Allah Shalom, once gave Musar to a cousin of mine. It left such an impact. I learned all the halachas of Techacha from her. In a few small sentences that she said, and I don't know if she was so learned in halachas, I don't know, I never saw her study the Hilchus Techacha, but with her wisdom,
The Yiddish imam understood what it means. Like it says in the Pasuk, Al tita ish teira simecha. There's a wisdom to the Yiddish mother. My Bobby gave a mussar to a cousin of mine that was reading something he shouldn't have been reading. It wasn't something which was proper for a Ben Torah to read. So instead of her telling this cousin of mine, what are you doing? How could you do such a thing? How could you do such an Aveira? No. She elevated him. She said, you're such a good person. Why would you read such a thing? How do you come to read it? It's not for you to read. That's elevating the person over the chet. And not to elevate the chet. Make it, whoa, look at the aveira you did. That's elevating the chet over the person. Leisisa olav. Don't make on him greater the chet over the person. Don't hold it over him. Elevate him over the chet. That's what I think Reb Levi Yitzchak was doing. He wasn't saying that the person is a child. He was saying, the person, you're not a child, you're a person. That's what he was trying to bring out. You're a gavra, you're 50. You could be much greater than the child in the carriage. Don't settle for that. Don't settle for being a child in a carriage. This is v'leisisa olavchei. So we see a tremendous thing over here. That there's a balance between teichacha and limutzchus. Teichacha and limutzchus. Now what is this balance? Reb Zalman Saratzkin said a beautiful story. Reb Zalman said over that Rav Amram Bloy told him about Rav Chaim Zonnefel. Now who was Rav Amram Bloy? Rav Amram Bloy was the head of the Neturei Karta. The Neturei Karta was known that they viciously fought the Zionism. There was clashes of based on tremendous hashkafa, right? Anti-Zionism. But it was fierce. Rav Amram Bloy was fierce in his battles. Rav Chaim Zonnefel was the Rav in Yerushalayim, Yesh HaLachoyim, he was the famous tzaddik from Yerushalayim, and he was the head of that. He was the Rav. He was the Rav in the Neturei Karta. So he went with that shita. Yet the story is as follows. Rav Amram Bloy said over that there was once walking in Yerushalayim in the street, and there was a parade from the Israeli government. Rav Chaim Zonnefel stopped, didn't want to look at it, you know. They were so against the Zionism, he didn't want to look at it. Yet he was mumbling words to himself. So Rav Amram Bloy asked him, what are you saying? What is the Rebbe talking? What are the words that you're mumbling? He says, I'm saying psukim. Speak about great Klal Yisrael is. Hashrecha Yisrael. Ikamaycha Yisrael. Am Noisha Hashem. That even though I fight you, to your face, I tell you, you're wrong. But to the Eibishter, what do I say? See, it's Klal Yisrael, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful story. You hear the story of place? But the pshat is that even though I have to fight, there's a time and a place where to your face I have to be strong. And I have to state my opinion. And I have to tell you that you have to change your ways. Yet when I talk to the Eibishter, what do I say? Hashrecha Yisrael, Kamoicha Yisrael, the head of the Neturei Karta. Okay. This, Reb Zalman Saratzkin would say, is the understanding of why the Big Day Zav was not worn by the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, not to remind Chet. Yet outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, all year long, he did wear, because he was supposed to remind Chet. You're supposed to know that you did something wrong. We learn from here. We learn from here a tremendous lesson. What is Kodesh HaKadoshim? What does it mean? Kodesh HaKadoshim means that it's uniting with the Eibishter to talk to him. And Kach HaKadosha means that it's the time to be Melamed Zchus on Klal Yisrael. That's what Kach HaKadosha means. Kach HaKadosha means that the Kohen Gadol had a time during the year where he unites with the Rebbeinu Shleilah. You hear? He unites with the Eibishter to talk to him. What is the talk that he has with him? Limud Zchus on Klal Yisrael. So now I'm going to show you how this is brought already all over in the literature of the whole Avodas Yom HaKippurim. The idea of Avodas Yom HaKippurim is Limud Zchus. Has Kateger V'kach Saneger. The idea is to take away Kitrug on Klal Yisrael. Okay. You know, you send a Sawyer. Forgiving Am Yisrael is the Avoida between Klal Yisrael and the Rebbeinu Shloim. But in the Beis HaMikdash, the Avoida, the Kohen Gadol, was to take away the Choyv, as if to wipe away sin of Klal Yisrael, to take away the Kitruk, or I would say the prosecution of Klal Yisrael. The idea of the Avoida Yom HaKippurim was to find the good and cover over the prosecution. And I'll show you where this is spoken about a lot. You know, we take a sawyer and we send it Lazazel. One is in the Beis HaMikdash and one goes to the cliff and thrown over the cliff. Now the Zohar explains that this sawyer that went over the cliff was supposed to be for the Sitra Acher, for the Satan, as an appeasement that he should go and be Melamed Zchus on Klal Yisrael. Normally, what does the Satan do? The Satan is supposed to... Satan! He's supposed to find prosecution. He's supposed to say, bid! So what do? We give him a bone, so to speak. We throw him a stake. And we figure, maybe with this, he'll just... The question is, that's... he don't need the stake. You know, Bishleim is the guy... The judge, him with a bottle of wine, you could buy him off. But how do you buy off the Satan with an animal that you throw it off the cliff? What does it mean? What is the translation of the words? It's almost fantasy. You give him an animal and you throw it down, and that's going to be that you bought him off, and he's going to now go and what does it mean? So Yitav Lev, which is the grandfather of the Sapir Rebbe, explains it very nicely. Where do we send the Sawyer? Where do we send it? We send it to the Azazel, right? Hamidbara. El Eretz Gzeira. The words of the Pasuk is to a land which is Gzeira desolate. Eretz, El Eretz Gzeira. Gzeira means there's nothing there. Deserted. So the question is, and the Rashbam explains that there's nothing growing there, and it's bad, it's a junky land. And the question is, the Pasuk says you send it to the Midbar, Lazazel. I mean, what do you have to Azazel, Midbar, or Gzeira? What do you want with all this? There's so much description about desert. Desert is desert. Everybody knows where the desert is. It's desolate. Why all the explanation of where and what the midbar is? Says Yitav Lei, says Sapir Rebbe, very nice pshat, al pi the Oyev Yisrael. Apteruv, the Oyev Yisrael says a pshat. You know, what is the greatest limud zchus on a person? What's the limud zchus? When a person sins, how can we bring out a defense for him? And the answer is that he's mi'adam, he comes from the earth. Adam yisaydeh mi'afar, v'sayfeh la'afar. What is a person? A person is just mi'afar. Mi'adam, he comes. Adam is mi'adam. He comes from the earth. Where does sin come from? What was the first entity to not listen to the Rebbeinu Shlom in sin?
Tree.
Adamah, with the trees. The trees. The Maral explains that when the person sinned and he ate from the Eitz Hadas, what was the punishment? Arura Hadama. That the earth became cursed. Why curse the earth? Imagine this guy sins and this guy gets punished. Well, curse the person. What are you cursing the earth for? Arura Adama. Why? I understand.
I didn't think it makes sense.
Yeah, of course it makes sense. Great question. Imagine I say, "What did you did that?" Okay, you, what you because, you you who did it? Why am I cursing the earth? Explains the Maral, because how does a person even get the ability to not listen to the Hashem? What does that mean? A person should have ceased to exist. What I mean, everything is what Hashem wants in this world. Hashem didn't want you to do it. So how do you do an Aveira? And the answer is, it comes from the earth that it was the first to not listen to the Eibishta. Hashem said, make trees, that the trees taste like the fruit. Eitz pri, eitz. That the eitz was pri, oisa pri. It didn't listen. It made tree that tastes like wood, and fruits. The only thing that has the tree the same taste as the fruit, no, is esrog. And that's why we take the esrog and the tzaddik, it's considered the tzaddik, right? It's resembled. Why? Because it listens to the Eibishter. So explains the Maral. So, Arura Hadama, the earth got cursed when the man didn't listen. When man didn't listen, who's the blame for it?
Earth.
Why? Because since the earth didn't listen, man is created from the earth. There's a part of him which is earth. So who caused him to sin? Oh, the earth. It's the earth that brought sin and not listening to the Eibishter, to the world. Arura Adama. The ground was the first to not listen. And the Maral explains that the Eibishter did it that way, because otherwise no one could ever sin. So the Eibishter made it that there should be a Metzias where the earth doesn't listen, in order that man who comes from earth should also be able to not listen to Hashem. So Arura Adama, the earth gets cursed when man doesn't listen. But there's a flip side. So just like I get punished, so to speak, the earth, because I sinned, I could also get off the hook with that defense. On my fault. It's the earth's fault. What are you blaming me for? You created me. You created me like this. You created me with a chip, so to speak. Like from a computer to sin. What do you want from me? You were the one who made it. Ati Yedei Yitzram. You created man from Adam, from Adama. So what do you expect? Says the Oyev Yisrael, the Apta, that we send El Eretz Gzeira to the Midbar where it's all land, desolate land, land that doesn't grow and doesn't do anything, to be a Limut Zchus. That's how we buy off the Satan. We tell the Satan, take a look, El Eretz Gzeira. We explain the Satan, we're made from Eretz, that's what we're made of. We're made of Eretz Gzeira. We're made of this desolate earth that doesn't have any toiv or anything good in it. The Lash of the Rashbam, she'ein boi toiv, nothing good is there, there's no growth. And that's the Limud Zchus itself, meaning we're opening up the Satan with what we want him to be melamed zchus on us. We're teaching him. We're giving him the defense. It's like when the defense, you know, the prosecutor, so the defense lawyer tells the prosecutor lawyer, listen to me, I have some good evidence over here. That this is going to be a good defense. You better jump ship and change to the defense team. And what is it? Eretz Gzeira. Man is no different than the Midbar. He comes from this Eretz Gzeira, this Eretz HaMidbar. And that becomes the Limud Zchus. So we see that the Yesod of Avodas Yom HaKippurim is to bring out the defense of Klal Yisrael, that they're human. They're human. Now I'm going to explain to you a tremendous Yesod. You ready? It's an interesting thing. We act like malachim on Yom Kippur. We act like malachim on Yom Kippur, right? I would have said the opposite. If the whole idea of Yom Kippur is to bring out that we're human, and therefore we're fallible, and therefore we shouldn't be judged. We're a person. What do you want from a person already? So why do we go and act like malachim on Yom Kippur? It defeats the purpose. I always thought about that. We wanted the Eibushes to look at us and go, Moanesh kisis kirena, ben adam kisis kidenu. Who's a person? What's a person? What's a person already? So why are we coming to El Eibush? Look at us, we're like malachim. That defeats. It defeats the whole purpose. So let me discuss this point with you, okay? The Pasuk says that no person was allowed in the Oil Moyed when Aaron HaKohen came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim L'chaper B'Kodesh on Yom Kippur. L'chol Adam L'yeh B'Oil Moyed B'voy L'chaper B'Kodesh V'atzeis. No one was allowed to be in there. The Gemara tells us, it's Yerushalmi, why does it say V'chol? Say Adam L'yeh, a person. Why does it have to have V'chol? And all, which is a ribui, which comes to it. What is it eating? Adam. You know of anybody else that goes in there that's not Adam? What animals? Who are you referring to? V'chol Adam. Says the Yerushalmi, this is referring to Malach. Shedemusam demus Adam. They look like people. There's a lot of features. A Malach looks like a person. And so, the Gemara understood that the Pasuk is teaching us that even a Malach doesn't go in. Malachim were not allowed to go into the... when Aaron HaKohen went into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Why not? What's the big deal? Malachim, they're usually there and they had to leave. I mean, what's the big deal? Like, what? What's more perplexing is, Yerushalmi a few pages later asks the question, V'chal Adam lo yeh ba'al ma'ed v'chi Aaron lav Adam? Yeah, but Aaron's a person, so what do you mean no one's allowed to be there? You just said no man is allowed to be there, but Aaron's a man, and he's there. So how could the Pasuk write that? So of course the simple pshat is V'chal Adam, besides Aaron. Besides him. Yerushalmi says a different teretz. Yerushalmi says that Aaron, after he purified himself, and after he prepared himself to go into the Kodesh, is like a malach, he's like an angel. So he's not an Adam, he's not a person. What's the contradiction? Here you just told me, V'chal Adam lo yeh ba'al ma'ed, that a person, including malachim, are not allowed to be in the Ol Ma'ed. And here you answered, how is Aaron allowed to be in the Ol Ma'ed? Because he's a malach. It's a famous contradiction. All the Mefarshim asked us. There's a contradiction in the Yerushalmi between two or three pages in the Yerushalmi. In one place, Yerushalmi writes, no malachim, no angels. And in another place, Yerushalmi says, but Aaron was a person, and how was he allowed? And the answer is, he was an angel. Yeah, but angels are not allowed, you just told me.
Good.
So the Mefarshim answer that a person is a person, a malach is a malach, but a malach from a person is much greater. Which means if a person elevates himself to the status of malach, that's something already beyond malach. It's greater than just being a malach. And so when the Yerushalmi says, no malachim, yeah, no malachim. Aaron was a person that turned into a malach. It's a different type of malach. My Zaydi Zatzal told me a story that there was a Rav from Germany that went to visit the Chafetz Chaim, and he spent a lot of money on a ticket. He wanted to see the Chafetz Chaim. He heard so much about the Chafetz Chaim, he wanted to see who's this person. He came. Tell him. He came. Yep, he came. He walks into the room of the Chavetz Chaim. He spent some time with the Chavetz Chaim. he was not impressed. Why? Chafetz Chaim was very simple. He was very down to earth. He's very talkative. He acted like any other person. If you didn't know the Chafetz Chaim on a regular basis, nor did you see his Mishnah Berurah work, when you sat at the table with him, you'd walk away and say, I don't know, what do you see in him already? Just a regular nice person. So he left the room, and he was disappointed. He spent a lot of money. It was a ticket, a travel from Germany. And he expressed himself, farta mensch. Hey, the person, what's the big deal they make? My Zaydi used to say he had the misfortune. My Zaydi used to use these words. He had the misfortune of saying this in front of Rebbe Elchanan. Rebbe Elchanan used to go to visit the Chafetz Chaim, and he would humble himself as a Talmud to the Chafetz Chaim, and every word he would be like a with humility under the Chafetz Chaim. And this was the worst thing that you could have said. That's, you couldn't have said it in front of anybody worse than the Rebbe Elchanan. To say such, Rebbe Elchanan started to yell, What? A person? Of course he's a person. But he's a person who elevated himself to be a malach. It's greater than a malach. It's bigger than a malach. From this point, that when a person elevates himself to be a malach, it's not just a person. And nor is it just a malach. It's an other malach. It's a person of malach. That's the greatest. And that's what they say. And my Zaydi the Sefer gives this teretz, the stira, the contradiction between the two Yerushalmis. Shami says that no person was allowed in when Aaron came, and the Yerushalmi says even angels, and then a little bit later it says how did Aaron, but he was a person, and the Teretz says what? The Teretz is he was a malach. Yeah, but I thought you said no malach. Well, the answer is he was a person of malach. The Belzeruv, Rabbi Sacha Dei Belzeruv, some beautiful, beautiful pshat, such a beautiful thing. He goes to this Yerushalmi with another angle. And he says, you know, there's an interesting Zayar. The Zayar says that Chanoich turned into an angel. The Pasuk says that Rabbi Hashem just took him away. He just disappeared. He was walking down the street one day and just disappeared. Chanoich in the Torah. He just disappeared. What it says in the Pasuk. A comic strip. All of a sudden, the guy just disappears. Disappeared. Okay. The Chasam Sofer explains in the Chuvas, in Agdamatis Chuvas, why did Chanoich disappear? What happened? Chanoich was a tremendous tzaddik, even bigger than Noach. Chanoich was a bigger tzaddik, maybe even than Avraham Avinu, he says. He would sit in the corner and daven and learn and in his room. But what? The Rabbi Nishlam doesn't need malach. Chanoich turned into a malach. He wasn't interested. He has plenty of them in Shemayim. So he tells Chanoich, I didn't bring you to this world to be a malach. Come back. Avraham Avinu, ki ahavtiv, the Pasuk says, why do I like him? He's Makar of other Yidden. He lives among people and he helps people. He teaches them. He learns with them. That's what I need. I don't need angels. I need Rabbonim, Rosh Hashivas, Talmid HaChachamim, Rebbes, Mekubalim, whatever your taste is, right? I need people who are going to teach. Chanoich, you're not teaching. You're learning for yourself. Do me a favor. Come back, you know. You're more mild than person. Come back here. That's all. You look at the tshuva of the Chasam Soyim. The Belzerov, though, brings this Zayar, where the Zayar seems to say something else. The Zayar seems to say, that why does the Rabbi Nishlam take Chanoich back? To be a Shomer al Yisrael. That he stands and he protects Klal Yisrael. Remember we started this year with Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and I told you that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai protects Ani Efters Kol Olam Kulay Menadin, that he protects Klal Yisrael from judgment. Actually, I see this also in this Chanoich. The Chanoich was taken back to protect Klal Yisrael, to be Shomer. Says Belzeruv, what does it mean? What does it mean? And the answer is, he's there to be Melamed Tzchus on Klal Yisrael. Chanoich was taken back
as an angel, as a defense angel for Klal Yisrael.
Frag the Belzeruv, you'll ask me, why do I have to take Hanoich as a defense angel? I have so many angels in Shemayim. Lacking, missing angels? Says the Belzeruv, such a brilliant thing. Angels don't understand people. They can't properly defend them. We took Adam, someone that was here, and we brought him to Shemayim. Now go defend, be a malach to defend Klal Yisrael.
And he took us to Israel, this Yeshua, no?
So this I don't know, but this is this medrash. This Zohar that says that he was there as a defense. Why do you need him? Why do I need the malach? The answer is, you need a human being that understands the weaknesses. Some understanding. Says the Belzeruv, that's the pshat over here too. Malachim, you don't belong there. You know why you don't belong in the Oil Mayit? Because the whole Oil Mayit, like I explained to you, is to find defense for Klal Yisrael. It's to discuss with the Rabbeinu Shalom a defense plan, a defense for the Klal Yisrael. Malachim are not equipped for that. V'chal Adam lo yeh ba'al mayit. I, Aaron HaKoyin is fit. He's a malach, like Hanoich. And his job now is to defend Klal Yisrael. Beautiful. Beautiful. So beautiful. If you understood the understanding of what it means, the Avodah Beis HaMikdash. The Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash was to defend the honor of Klal Yisrael and to explain away their Averis, to explain it away. V'chal Adam lo yeh ba'al mayit. No man, a malach included. You know why? They won't do the job. But the one who could, the right defendant, was the Kohen Gadol, who turns into a malach, like Hanoich, who elevates himself. And why is he a malach? He's a malach because this becomes his tafkid, to defend Klal Yisrael. With this, I would like to discuss, what does it mean? What does it mean to be melamed zchus? What is it? How do you defend? There's a very nice story of Shalom Shadron Zatzal used to say, oh, beautiful story, that there was in the years of 48, when right before the Medina, Israel became Israel, still Palestine, Britain, there was a moihel, a very chash of a moihel, who had a gold coin, which was a lot of money at the time. He could have supported his family with a whole year with this gold coin. So instead of putting it in a bank, because it was a very dangerous time, nobody was secure, so he put it on top of his refrigerator, and put it away, hidden over there. One of his kids climbed up there. You know, I guess kids are kids. And he sees the coin, and he thinks to himself, I need lollies, I need candy, you know. So he took the coin, and he ran to the local supermarket to buy himself candy. He don't know the difference between gold and pennies. Money is money, right? He doesn't. So he comes back with 3 lollipops. You ever heard this story?
No.
It's a great story. He comes back with 3 lollipops. Yeah. And the mother asks him, where did you get these 3 lollipops from? So he says, climbed on top of the refrigerator, and I took the coin, the money that was the gold coin, and you got 3 lollipops. What? She goes to look there, it's not there. Oh, her heart sank. Quickly, she tells her husband, and together they run to the storekeeper. What kind of a lowlife are you? A kid comes in with a gold coin, and you give him 3 lollipops? Says the owner, what? He didn't come with a gold coin. He came in with a penny, 1 penny. As a matter of fact, I felt bad for him. I gave him 2 extra lollies. He should have given only 1 lollipop. I'm a tzaddik. I'm a good guy. I gave extra. What are you talking? He says, what? It's a gold coin. What are you talking about? Here, it's missing. There was only 1 gold coin over there. What? He says, yeah, from top of the refrigerator.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. They're yelling and screaming at it. So he took him to a din Torah. To a din Torah. So the Rav Paskin, that the storekeeper has to swear, since he's a Kaifra Kail. Today, Kaifra Kail makes a shvua.
Me?
Kofer HaKol. He says, I don't owe you the money. It's not true. So therefore, yeah, in the halacha today, in the time of the Gemara, Kaifer HaKol didn't swear. But today, a Kaifer HaKol has to swear. So he says, okay, swear. So the Reb Shalom used to say that originally he heard the story that the Mohel said, you know what, forget it. Because the Gemara says that even if the person that makes you swear false, not only the person that swears false, but the person that caused you, that forced you to swear, he also is responsible. He also will get punished. So you know what? Forget the gold coin, leave it. I'm Michael the Shul. Later, Reb Shalom would say that years later, he found out that it actually was the other way around. That the Mohel said swear, and the Chenvin, he said, you know what? I'm not going to swear. What happened? It was a tremendous story in the streets. People started to stay away from this storekeeper. Why? He didn't swear. He ended up not swearing. Ah, for sure, he stole the money. Look, but he took advantage of a little kid. A horrible story. Put him in the chair. The end of the story was that after Israel became Israel and the economy started to grow a little bit, the Mohel gets a letter from a yeshiva person, a person who learned the Kailul. And he says, I want you to know that I owe you a gold coin. What happened? Your son was walking in the street, and I see a kid playing with a gold coin, and I figured to myself, if a little child could be walking around with a gold coin, because come from a rich family, huh? I mean, which kid walks around with $1,000 in his pocket, right? It doesn't make sense. So I figured, you know what? If it's from a rich family, I don't have any money, I'm dying from hunger, my family's dying from hunger, I'll borrow the money, and one day I'll pay you back. So what he did was he gave him a penny instead of a... He said, let me see what you got over there. And he gave back the kid a penny. The kid didn't know the difference. I don't know, for nothing. So when he came to the store, he gave the penny, and the storekeeper said, for one penny, you get one lolly, but you know what? You look like a nice kid, I'll give you two extra lollies.
He was right.
You hear? To make a long story short, they're all three of them. They passed on, right? Says Reb Shalom HaMeiridik thing. Take a look in Shemayim, these three people. Yeah? The Mohel, he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, he went to a Bezdin, and the Bezdin said he should swear. He's supposed to swear. It makes sense he should swear. He didn't do anything wrong. The Chemvini was a tzaddik. As a matter of fact, he's going to sit very high in Gan Eden because they were chayshin him for something that he didn't do. And the Gemara says that if they're chayshin somebody for something he didn't do, Asher, he's praised. You're lucky. You're lucky that you're... You know why? Because they clean up your Averis with that. So you're a very lucky guy, the Gemara says. So, says Reb Shalom, this guy is sitting in Gan Eden, very high up. How about the guy that stole? He did tshuva. He wrote a letter. He's sorry. He doesn't know about what they said about this Chemini. He didn't try to make the Chemini have a bad name. He gave back the money. He paid back. He wrote a letter. I'm sorry, I owe you the money. And he's paid him back. See, he did tshuva. So all three people more or less fixed what they had to fix. They did what they had to do, and they're all sitting in Gan Eden today. Says Reb Shalom, who's paying for this story? It's all the neighbors. They walked around, and, right? It's what use the word?
Spectators.
Who were choshed. Who weren't down the kafskus. You hear? Who weren't down the kafskus for no reason. They have nothing to this. He says, man, they didn't know what was going on. They anyway accused him. Those are the people, says Reb Shalom. Those are the people that I paid dearly for this story. Yeah? So he says, take a look. The three people who were involved, they're going to be off the hook. It's you that was chayshid. Instead of being down lekafskos, look who's going to pay. I want to tell you a pshat. The mother tells us, I see you need another piece of paper. Anybody have a piece of paper for this gentleman?
What gentleman?
Oh. You're a gentleman, yes. Okay. Yes.
Very nice.
Take that as a compliment.
The Gemara tells us, the Mishnah, the Gemara in Yuma, that before Yom Kippur, the Bezin used to send a messenger to the Kohen Gadol to quiz him on the Avodah, if he's going to do the Avodah properly. Why the Tzedukim used to do it one way, and the Chachamim said we're supposed to do it a different way, fire before, fire after, the procedure of the Avodah on Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara that when they left the Kohen Gadol, he was crying and they were crying. They were crying that they were chayshin b'ksherim. They felt they went over to the Kohen Gadol to ask him if he's doing the right thing, and maybe he's a tzduki, maybe he's an apikiris, and he's doing it the way that tzdukim did it. Chayshin b'ksherim. It's very painful. So the people of the Bezin walked away crying. The who and the Kohen Gadol walked away crying. You know, look how they were chayshin terrible. He felt terrible. Look how they're being chayshin b'ksherim. The Mefarshim asked a very nice question. The people who were chayshid, it was done because the Bezin sent them. So what they do wrong? What are you crying about? The Bezin, it's not your problem. It's not something that you did wrong that you have to fear or feel bad. What are you feeling bad about? So I always used to say one of two things. First of all, you're right. But still you feel, a nice person feels bad that he has to do something which is so unpleasant. You know, you don't have to be crying because you feel you did something wrong. You're crying that you did something right, but that you had to do it. It's also not so, you know. You know, how does a father tell his child when he hits him? He says, you think you're crying, I'm crying even more. We don't think he's wrong. I don't think he did something wrong, but still, it's uncomfortable. And if someone has midos tovus, he cries by having to be chayish b'ksherim, to be chayish at someone for no reason. Or, I used to say over another pshat. Now, if you take a look, it's interesting. We find that Yaakov Avinu took the brachas from Esav, stole them. Esav goes out and cries, what? Tzaka gedoyl umara, a very big, strong, bitter cry. Tzaka gedoyl umara. We find the same language many years later that Mordechai HaTzadik, when he finds out from Haman, also, Bayetze, he went out into the city, Bayizak Za'aka G'day Lomar. So the Gemara Megillah puts the two words, the two Lashonos together. Oh, look, by Esav it says Za'aka G'day Lomar. And by Mordechai, Za'aka G'day Lomar. Why? It came to fix. It was this that Yaakov did to Esav. He caused him pain. So he caused him to scream Azaka G'day Lomara, exactly those words, which means that measurement of pain. Years later, Haman, who was the grandchild of Esav, returned it to, so to speak, the favor to Mordechai, and now Mordechai is Vayizak Azaka G'day Lomara. Payment. This is a payment for this. That's what the Gemara says. The Farshim ponder this. They don't understand. But Yaakov did the right thing. When Yaakov stole the brachas, he was really a bad, evil, conniving. No, he did what David said. Didn't say Shema B'Kayli. Rivka says, listen to my koil. Says Chazal koil means what? Ruach HaKadosh. So the Eibishter was telling him to do it. So how could he later on get punished? Punished. By Yizak, Zaka, G'day Lomara. So we spoke about this many times, and we said to your side that even when you're right, if you cause others pain, there's payment for it. Even when you're right, even if you're 100% right, not everything's about right and wrong. You could be 100% right, and still, there's payment for causing someone's pain. So here too, when they come and tell the Kohen Gadol, they tell the Kohen Gadol, look, maybe you're not a kosher Kohen Gadol. They have to do it. They're right for doing it. But still, they're crying. You know why? You might have to pay for this one day. You might have to pay for it. You might have to be misakein that you choshed him and caused him pain. These are the two terutzim that we always say. Okay. But I ask the other way around. I have a different question. Why is the Kohen Gadol crying? That's a normal thing. It's a standard procedure. That they come and they question the Kohen Gadol every year. It's not you. And also Chazal tell us, Ashimi shechoshtim b'veinboy, it's the greatest thing you could ever have, that people are choshtim, and it's not true. It's brought down that this day Chemed was accused for a very big avera sexual avera. He did a sexual thing with some maid, and it wasn't true. And he was meichel, forgave the people that caused him all this. And I don't want to go into all details, it's a long story, but basically, because he was meichel, said the Stechemet about himself, the doors of Shemayim, of Chachmas HaTorah opened up for him. His wisdom of Torah came as a present for the fact that he overlooked his bizoya and his chshad, and he said, you know what, I leave it alone, it's fine. Ashemi Shechoyishnim Boi V'Ein Boi. There also was a Shaila V'Chil Hashem. There was a few other points that the Stechemet brought out. It's not for right now, it's late. The point being, why is the Kohen Gadol crying? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? So they're chayshin him. So what? It's a standard questionnaire that they ask every year. You're Kohen Gadol over somebody else. Every year they ask whoever the Kohen Gadol is. It's not a sign on the Kohen Gadol that he's weak or something, he's ruined. They saw some question about him. B, A, and B. And if they are chayshin, it's a great thing. It's kaparas avoynus. I want to say pshat, since the whole Avodas Yom HaKippurim is based on not being choshev b'kshinu, the idea of Avodas Yom HaKippurim is to not see l'kaf choyv, is to always be down l'kaf zchus. So in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, both the questioner and the one that's being questioned is in pain, is crying, that we had to be chayshid. It would have been better if the day before Yom Kippur, instead of coming to the Kohen Gadol and having to be chayshid him, to be done in l'kaf zchus. And that's why he's crying. The fear of coming to the Yom HaDin, to the Kohen HaKadoshim, where each one was chayshid the other one, so to speak, and not done l'kaf zchus. That was the fear and the crying. Ki'ilu, they wanted that there should be a kapara. It shouldn't be a blemish for the day of Yom Kippur, this that they were chayshin the Kohen Gadol and weren't danim l'kaf zchus. Because the idea of Yom Kippur is to come to the Ribbono Shel Olam dan l'kaf zchus. Now I want to explain to you what it means to be dan l'kaf zchus. What is it? There's a story in the book of Rabbi Aryeh Levine which truthfully changed my life. It had an impact on me because it really opened up my eyes. Really opened up my eyes to understand what it means, the chiyuv, the responsibility of being the l'kaf zchus. The story over there is brought, and I'm not sure if it's in the English edition, it might be in the second volume, the Hebrew one, Tzadik Hayyub. It was a Tzadik. So he brings a story like this, that Rabbi Aryeh Levine was at a funeral for a friend. And he was broken, felt bad, friend, was very close. One of the friends from the group breaks away from the funeral, and as they pass by a place where they sell flowers, atzitz, they sell plants, he goes into the store and he buys a plant. Rabbi Aryeh Levine felt very bad. In the middle of a funeral for your friend, you go buy a plant for everybody. That's a guy comes to a funeral of and he goes into a pizza. In the middle of the funeral, well, what's wrong with you? Guy goes to buy a Coke in the middle. What's crazy? And so Rabbi Aryeh said, even I who doesn't, rebuke people and respects people, he just couldn't hold out. And he went over to the guy and he said, what's wrong with you? He says, it's not what it looks like. You think I went to buy a plant for my house in the middle of a funeral? I go to visit lepers, chaylim, in the hospital. There were a lot of lepers. I don't even understand why, but there was leprosy in the 48th in Israel. There was a lot of leprosy. I guess maybe where they're coming from, Africa. It was machlam is dabekis. It was very contagious. Ramosh has chuvas about it. And what do you do with the tefillin of such a person? The government of Israel and the hospital policy was to burn everything, including the tefillin. He would go visit this person, and he felt bad for the tefillin. So he went over to the doctor, and he tells the doctor, maybe I could take the tefillin home with me. The doctor said, no, it's policy. I'm a religious person also, but not going to work. It's the policy, it's the government, it's the hospital. But what I do is I give you good advice. Come with a plant, as if you're buying a plant for one of the sick people. You know, flowers, a plant. Take the tefillin and hide it in the earth of the plant, and then go home with the plant. Make believe, you know, okay, he came home with the plant. So he thought it was a good idea. So he was supposed to visit this person after the funeral. From the funeral, he went to go. So he bought the plant. So Rabbi Ari Levin held his head. And he said, wow. Imagine if I would have never asked him what he was doing. I would have lived my whole life thinking, V'laisisa alav chet. What is v'laisisa alav chet? V'laisisa alav chet means don't keep it hanging forever. Here forever and ever and ever. He would have left, you know, it is like that, by the way. When you see a person doing aveira, every time you see him, maybe the tshuva. The Gemara says, "Im ra'isa tamud chacham, if you see a tamud chacham she'aver aveir balayla, al taharer achra." What is taharer? Don't think all the time. Why? Because vada yasa tshuva. He definitely did tshuva. Now I don't know if every person is a tamud chacham that the next morning he did tshuva. I'm not going to tell you that. But why does it have to be that when you see a story, forever and ever, that becomes the person? That becomes the person. Oh, that's the guy. Oh, I saw him. Oh, yeah. Who knows? Maybe you saw it incorrect. Maybe you didn't see the right thing. Yeah? V'chal Adam. I'm sorry. That's V'chal Adam. Don't keep it long term. That forever and ever, the chet hangs on him forever. No, maybe he fixes it. Maybe. Wash. You did your job. You gave tichacha. From here on, maybe he's about tshuva. Leave him alone. V'laisisa alav chet. Now with this, I think we could go and explain something very nice. I told you that a malach can't be melamed tzchus. An adam could. You know, there's something very interesting about a person. A person, when it's about him, he's a melamed tzchus. When it's about him, all of a sudden, all he sees is that it's okay. It's not. There's nothing wrong. When it's about the other person, it's always wrong. I'll give you a story. They say, over from Rav Huttner, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, a brilliant Rav Huttner, Zecher Tzadik, very interesting story. You hear? That someone went to Rav Huttner, and he said, there's a kid in my son's class. And this kid ruining the whole class. He's destroying the class. He's making all the kids go down in Yirat Shamayim. Gotta get rid of him. Says Rav Huttner, you know, he comes from a very good home, this boy. He comes from a good home. I throw him out of yeshiva, the father is going to suffer terrible. It's going to be a tremendous blow to the family. I have a hard time doing it. What? You sacrifice the whole class for one guy because his father? What kind of a father is that guy already? He should have been a better father, and if he comes from a good home, it makes it all the worse. You know, the boy himself, not such a bad boy.
he has some good traits, that he's friendly, he's nice. What? All the more reason, because he's friendly, he can make people more on his side, we got to get rid of him, and he's... Let's say I get rid of the boy, yeah? What's going to be with him? He could go completely... We're going to lose him completely. I have to think about that. What? You care about... He's lost already anyway. Look at him and look what he does. Says Rav, tell me something. Do you know who this boy is? So he goes, I don't know exactly who it is because my son didn't want to tell me. And the kids in the class don't want to tell me. But I heard, and all the parents are talking, that there's one boy that's just destroying the whole class. And if the Rosh Hashiva doesn't throw him out immediately, you should know, and you should do, and you should see, and the whole school. Said, tell me, did you know that this boy is your son? All of a sudden, the guy goes, what? Or Shiva, wait a minute, but he comes from such a good home. And he's such a nice boy. And what's going to be with it? You know, it's the same story.
Just a show, right?
Huh? No, it's a real story. It's a famous story.
Sorry, it was school. It doesn't make
sense. He didn't know. There was a kid ruining the class, and then the father, Rav Huttner, was trying to tell him, You don't even get it. It's your kid. It was your kid who's running the class. Then all of a sudden, the guy turned it around. And all of a sudden, he didn't see anything. He didn't see all the other half of everything. Hey, we're going to get rid of him. You know why? Because that's called Adam. How could a person... How could a person be melamed zchus on another person? And you know what the answer is? The answer is, you do the same thing. You do the same thing. What are you talking about? You know how many times people look at another guy and they say, look how he talks during davening. But you also talk during davening. What are you talking about? You do the same thing. We usually blame the other guy for the same stuff we do.
You see the other person's fault from yourself.
The Gemara says, Kal ha-paisel.
It's
the way it is. When you have something wrong, I want you to know something. Yeah, I'll tell you something interesting. A ganif will walk around all day long. Oh, that guy's a ganif. Oh, he's a thief. You know why? Because it takes one to know. That's what it is. You come to me, I don't see all that. I look at life pure, so therefore I see everybody pure. The Chal Adam. It takes an Adam to be Melamed Zchus. You know why? Because you have to be able to do the same thing to understand that therefore I don't blame the other guy for doing it. A Malach can't understand that. He says, why are you doing these Averis? Because he doesn't do them. In order to be melamed zchus on the other person for doing the aveira, you look in the mirror. That's v'chal adam. You need an adam who fixed himself. He turned into a malach. He doesn't do that, but he knows that he could do it. He knows that he could be the same. He could be that person. I think that's the pshat, and I want to tell you over varf the bnei yisasa. Hecheach techiras amisecha v'leisisa olav chait. What is v'leisisa olav chait? So there's a gevaldige word from the Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael says, you do it from the Baal Shem, and when a person sees another person do an Aveira, there's a reason why you have to see it.
Is it what?
There's a reason why you have to see that person do an Aveira. They say over that the Baal Shem Tov saw someone being mevazet Talmud Chacham. I'm sorry, the other way around. He saw me Michal Shabbos. So the Baal Shem Tov said, it's because of me, I have to learn a lesson from this. Because Talmud Chacham and Shabbos is the same, and maybe I didn't respect Talmud Chacham the way I should. So the Chilul Shabbos that this guy did is a lesson for me that maybe I should fix in this area. You see somebody do something wrong. Says the Bnei Yisazka, that's the pshat in the pasuk. Why double lashon? Because when you see a guy doing avera, there's two techachas, one for that guy, and one for yourself. Don't put the sin on him. Maybe it's you. I wanted to say pshat. Don't make him the sinner. You're the same guy. You do the same stuff. Don't look at the other guy. What about you? You do the same things. This, Rabbi Isai, is what it means to be Malamed Zchus and be Dan Lekav Zchus. And this, like I explained to you, is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's after Kala Oilam Kulay. I'll pop to the whole world, which means I'll be Dan Lekav Zchus. And this causes Mechilas Avoinus. Like I explained to you, it's a time for Mechilas Avoinus, Lag Boimer. And when this Zchus Taka will be Zoicha, and bring us Mashiach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.